Tee to Green. Jerry Butenhoff with you. Time now to have one of our favorite guests back on the show. We like to go back and check in with some people over the course of time, whether it be later in the same year or sometimes it'll be 4 or 5 years before we invite somebody back. We weren't going to do that with this guy because he's very good and he really knows what he's talking about. Dr. Robert Winters is a mental game instructor. He's an author. His latest book is called Mistake-Free Golf. We talked about that with Bob earlier this fall. And today we're going to go down a couple other different roads, and he's going to try and help us fix a few problems. Dr. Robert, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Jerry. It's great to be on Tee to Green Radio. So, yeah, it's awesome to be back on.
I understand you're having another horrible weather day down in Orlando there, huh?
Yeah, it's about 70 degrees, you know, a wonderful day, and we've got so many different things going on down here right now, and I kind of go down the whole list. I mean, we've got LPGA qualifying school final stage coming up this week, and we've got Tiger Woods tournament just maybe 2 minutes, you know, from my home down here at Isleworth. That's going to take place here this week. You know, we've got European tour schools going on right now for the ladies, and just a lot of different events going on right around here and abroad. It's just a lot of good golf going on. So this season never ends. We always talk about this, Jerry, as being sort of the wraparound season. We used to have kind of season-ending events and had a little break and kick off, you know, right at the start of January. But right now we've already had 6 or 7 PGA tournaments, and we're sort of in this wraparound area, and It's just continuing.
Yeah, it really is. You know, people ask Jay and I a lot of times about, you know, whether our show goes on year long. I mean, because the golf season in Colorado here is a little sporadic right now. But, you know, I always have to remind people, I said, well, yeah, because we're a national show and they're playing golf in Houston and Phoenix and Florida and in other places all year long. So we got people covered no matter what's going on.
Well, it's good, because that's the wonderful thing about this game. And if a person is, you know, available, you know, to just grab a flight, go someplace, especially right here in the United States, there's a lot of great places, you know, to go play golf. And that's the wonderful thing. It's the beauty about this game. It isn't just, you know, for 3 months, 4 months. You can play it all year long if you get to the right venue.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure. Talking with Dr. Bob Winters, and Bob, you wanted to help some people here today, and you know, here in America, the medical field, or the medical, I don't know how to phrase this exactly. We do a great job at curing the symptoms. You know, when someone gets ill or anything, we're maybe not the best in the world at dealing with the causes and being proactive ahead of the time, be it something that's relating to what we're eating or, you know, whatever it might be. You wanted to talk about the yips a little bit today, and is that something that we can fix even before we get them? And people have different definitions of what the yips really are. What's your definition, and how do you treat it?
Well, you know, there are a lot of colloquial terms that are given to the yips. And the first, you know, where we really first heard about the word yip was from, you know, the great Silver Scott, you know, the Tommy Armour, who really said, you know, that these little jerks and spasms really just took him out of tournament golf. And he's the one that really sort of coined that term yip. He said it was almost like a little dog barking when he was actually swinging. It was sort of a yip. And there was sort of this little jerk and this little tremor, and it sort of just drove him away from the game. But really, the yips is really more less a continuum based on from just anxiety and choking to becoming a very neurogenic, a neuromuscular problem where there's a co-contraction between the muscles of the forearm and the, you know, wrist flexors and extensors. And that's kind of a co-contraction. But it really is a psychoneuromuscular performance condition. It is a phenomenon. It's episodic, and it impairs golfers, but it also impairs, you know, other, you know, athletic performance. We've had people who have, you know, the yips in baseball, couldn't throw the ball from the catcher to the pitcher, or, you know, the pitcher to the first base, or even, you know, infielders. We've had it in softball, cricket, archery, and even darts. And in darts, they don't call it yips, they call it dartitis. But these are always usually attributed to some type of dystonia, and it's sort of like a fine motor movement cramp, Jerry. And so many of us now don't understand that there might be just a couple of different types of yips, and it's really important for people to understand which category they fit in. And I thought maybe I might talk about that a little bit with you.
Yeah, and I think I would say in basketball, free throw shooters certainly would fall into that category too. Now, when a lot of people talk about routine in golf, and even, you know, if we're talking about, coming to the plate, every batter's got his routine. You know, free throw shooters in basketball have their routine. Can that prevent part of this problem if you follow that same routine all the time?
Well, you know, there's a lot of controversy about that because people, you know, golfers who have a well-established routine tend to go ahead and yip anyway. Obviously, you know, the routine helps to focus your attention both on a physical and a psychological dimension. I mean, there are cognitive and behavioral components that work together, but having a routine is a really good place because it's sort of, you know, do the drill, and it sort of keeps your mind focused on the actual task at hand. And also at the same time, it allows you to automatically just, you know, swing the putter back and through. So what we have here, Jerry, just to kind of define this a little bit more clearly, is that we have sort of what we call type 1 and type 2 yippers. And the type 1 is really more of what we call the acquired focal dystonia, more of the neurogenic group. And what that is, it is an involuntary co-contraction. It is exacerbated by stress and by anxiety. And that's why when players start playing in tournaments, you know, the social desirability, the ability to really perform well, they're under a lot of internal stress. It shows up even more pronounced. And that's a type 1. That is a neurogenic condition we call a focal dystonia. But, you know, I would say the majority of players fall into what we call type 2. And it's type 2 yips. And I don't want to really demean, you know, diabetes, because we always talk about juvenile onset as type 1, you know, diabetics.
Sure.
And we have, you know, adult onset diabetes called type 2. This is not meant to demean, you know, diabetes in any way. It's just, you know, how we've actually sort of categorized it. So type 2 would be more of a anxiety, performance anxiety threshold where, you know, players, you know, sort of succumb to, you know, social desirability, the self-induced pressure. And because of this obsessional thinking and the duress that they are under, they have sort of this emotional and psychological trauma about missing. They have this fear of missing that they actually sort of have a huge grip force, and they actually make a stab or a spasm at the ball. So I always call type 2 yips sort of what I call ASD. It is acute stress disorder. Acute because it happens, you know, at the specific point. You know, the closer you get to the hole, the more you feel like you should make the putt. They have higher, you know, heart rate, breathing, you know, increases. So there's a lot of self-imposed anxiety, and you feel the pressure. So that pressure causes, you know, this bad spasm, this bad pressure. And how somebody says, well, how do I know I have the yip? Well, I always give them sort of a 20-ball test. If you can put, you know, 20 balls down at 3 feet, and you can actually just sort of take the putter back and just sort of kind of get it back and through, and actually hit it, you know, solid. And, you know, what that will show me is that if you are a type 1, where you have some type of neuromuscular type condition, it will show up in your motion pattern. It will show up in your motor movement. And we can see this on a video analysis. But if you're, you know, just sort of back and through, we kind of know that you're more of a type 2. Now, that's just a very simplistic. We go through psychometric measures. We do a lot of very specific testing that I do. And I'm, you know, obviously with the Ledbetter Golf Academy at the World Teaching Headquarters at Champions Gate. So when I have a player come down, we go through a very rigorous testing of whether, you know, they are, you know, sort of falling into type 2, which is a anxiety sort of based yip, or there's something else. Because what happens is that we give, you know, players some treatments or some type of strategies And many times initially, they'll work. And Johnny Miller said, it's like wood, W-O-O-D. It only works only one day. And so, you know, the brain sort of kind of figures out what's going on and you have to do something different. But with, you know, a lot of golfers try a lot of different things, Jerry, and I'm sure you've heard, you know, a lot of different remedies, how people use different grips, different alter their stances, close, close their eyes. I'm sure you've heard a bunch that you could actually tell me about.
Yeah, exactly. And we've got just about a minute and a half left here, Bob, talking with Dr. Bob Winters. And you know, most people associate yips with the putting stroke, but it really, and I think the discussion has gotten more into it, you can have chipping yips too, can't you?
You can have chipping yips. You can even have driving yips. And really what happens is that, you know, the more precision that you need, you know, to make, tends to sort of increase, you know, that threshold of yipping. And so if there's, you know, something that has to be hit just right, and say you have a chip, you know, the ball sitting on a very tight surface, that anxiety level goes sky high, and they actually sort of co-contract or they actually flinch, and there you have a chip yip. And it happens with the driver as well. So, you know, we're trying to really sort of, you know, cure some of these golfers out there, and I hope everyone, you know, sort of reads my book or comes and sees me here in Orlando and see if we can help them.
Sounds good. Dr. Robert Winters, Dr. Bob, we call him because everyone else calls him that too, so we also take that liberty. Hey, Bob, it's always been great to have you. Good stuff here today. I think you put it in some different kind of terms than we've had from some of the other people that have maybe touched on that a little bit in our show. So great stuff. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving and hope your rest of your holiday season goes well, and we'll talk to you down the road again sometime.
Thanks so much for having me on, Jerry. Always great.
Dr. Robert Winters, his latest book is called Mistake-Free Golf. You can find it at all the usual places. When we come back, we're going to take you down to Sydney, tell you what happened in the Australian Open this year, an American with a chance to win for the first time in a long time. Be right back.